A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com. One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hello, dear listener. Ian Lee and Catherine Boyle here. Thank you so much for downloading our podcast. Before we get to the fun, we really want to thank our sponsors who make this show possible. First cab off the rank, they're not a cab company. It's SommersWasteSolutions.com. They are your one-stop shop. If you've got a big office block or you've got a tiny little shop and you want waste sorted out, go to SommersWasteSolutions.com. They'll save you money and make your company greener.
Gregorian Emerson Family Law Solicitors also sponsoring us this month. They are fantastic. They will take a lot of the pressure out of the hard times that are, you know, involved in getting divorced. They want to make sure they find a really smooth solution for both you and your ex and your family.
GELaw.co.uk, Poseidon Safety Management, keeping Cornwall and Devon safer. They got patrol dogs. They've got people walking around who are locals and who are really, really nice, and they do a lot for their local community. At Poseidon Safe on Twitter and Poseidon Safety on the Facebook. Thank you so much to our sponsors. If you've got a small company or a big company and you want to join us, then please do send us an email to latenightalternative@gmail.com. Here endeth the message, here beginneth the show.
A Twitter fan, and if you follow me, you'll sometimes see me retweeting things from Dr. Kate Lister, aka she's the Twitter feed Whores of Yore, and she sort of talks about sex work through the ages and, you know, female representation in literature and stuff, which sounds very worthy, but it's actually a lot of cheeky fun.
A little bit.
But she also writes some incredible articles, and she did one this week about, you know, that song WAP.
That one.
She wrote an article about that this week that caught my eye, but I've been thinking that since we've been doing this particular show, we need to get her on. And so I asked her the other day and she said yes.
I can't make it on that camera because I need to change a couple of settings. Okay. So we'll do that for next week. But I can make it work on this camera, and I can admit Kate, and I can click that. It's a very glamorous picture. I want a glamorous picture.
Hi.
Oh,
hey.
I want a glamorous picture like that on my thing. Catherine, after the show tonight, would you help me?
Certainly will.
Because I've got one of those jumpers where you can see
the
shoulders.
Look, and in real life, even more glamorous.
Oh, I could never be that glamorous.
It's so good to see you, Kate. How are you doing?
Nice to see. I'm good. How are you two doing?
Really well. I'm just talking about your WAP article this week. But...
Oh.
Now, I've not read it. Talk to me.
You've seen the hoo-ha, though, haven't you? A lot of pearls clutching.
I've not really. So there's a song. So some singers have sung a rude song about their genitals. Is that it?
That's literally in a nutshell.
Yeah.
They sung about their nutshell. Wow, my God.
Well, yeah, their nutshells. Specifically, their wet ass nutshells.
Okay.
That's the alternative version. So it's Cardi B and Megan Thee Trainor.
The Stallion, not Megan Trainor.
Oh, stop. God, what on earth am I talking about?
Megan Trainor's...
her name is No.
No, it's not. It's not. But Megan Trainor, she was the one that sung about...
bass.
The bass, right?
It's all about the bass. So she meant her bottom.
So she's quite saucy too.
She is.
I'm not... Yep. That's the thinking. Yeah, so I'm glad you're here, right? Megan Thee Stallion and Cardi B. So they sang a song, and it's called WAP. I don't know how rude I can be on your programme.
Cass looking at me as though I'm the
thing. I'm up for saying it, but it's up to you. Well,
the arbiter of rudeness.
We're listed as family friendly.
All right, let's keep the language fairly tasteful then.
So what, but WAP stands for something, doesn't it?
Wet ass
Where as vagina
parts?
Yes. Nutshell.
Wet ass
and
nutshell.
They're very specific in this thing, and it's very sort of sexy video, and they're very specific about what they're after in a partner, let's say.
Yeah, they do lay it out quite graphically. If it don't hang, then it can't bang, for example.
Which is something I agree with.
Absolutely. But it's just, it's kind of, and it's caused a kind of a real ruckus among, because there's a lot of kind of pearl clutching, and then there's people, I suppose, raising genuine concerns about, well, is it all right if kids listen to it, I suppose, because it is mainstream. But there's been quite a hostile reaction to it, especially in sort of American conservatives. So there was not a senator, but a sort of a want-to-be senator, I suppose, and she tweeted that they've set feminism back 100 years with this awful video. So there's been a lot of, and I can't remember.
Is it the video or the song that the main furore is around? Because surely someone singing about their own genitals and what they like having done to them, is that not empowering thing?
Well, this is the thing, Ian. You've kind of like got, is it empowering or is it like horrendously offensive? And that's kind of what the whole debate is about, because there's some people saying, well, look, for years we've been saying that these kind of sort of like hip hop videos where women are gyrating in thongs and singing and people men are singing obscenities, we've always said it's really offensive to women. But then when two women do it, is that suddenly empowering or is that offensive as well? Mm-hmm. So that's the kind of,
do we know? I guess one would have to look at the genesis of the song. Did the women write it? Did
yes.
the women the yes. women wrote it and made it? Okay. Yep. Did women direct the video? I suppose these things are important, aren't they?
That's ultimately what it comes down to, because that's the difference, isn't it? Is it's two women singing about the sex that they want to have and the partner that they want to have, rather than men singing about the kind of woman they want to have sex with. So there is a power difference there. And it's, you know, like, I don't think you want to go too far the other way and say it's like some kind of feminist anthem, but I think it's really important, because you don't hear songs like that very often, where like women are just going, right, this is what I want, let's do this. And it's really explicit and it's funny as well.
It is. Yeah. I have been listening to a lot of pop music recently, because my kids have got me into Kiss, not the rock group. I'm into them already. And that's you talk about, you know, male men talking about
sex. Oh my
God, how
many songs have they done about their privates?
Love Gun, You Pull the Trigger of My Love Gun and stuff like that. Yes. But I have been hearing a lot of kind of modern music, and it is still blokes saying she is fit, she's fine, I want to make love to her, I want to take her out, I want to have her, I want to have her, you know, that kind of masculine control. And there aren't the female songs, this is a mass generalization, tend to be about heartbreak or being in love. And the male songs, again, mass generalization, are about doing it.
Yeah, so it's to me, it's like, I think they're offending all the right people
for
the start. They didn't write those songs for the conservative, you know, Midwest. And also, you know, for someone who is against kind of reproductive rights, to start telling women they're setting feminism back is a little bit rich, I think.
It is. And I think the part of it that I was interested in is this idea that, it's set feminism back 100 years. Because then that raises the obvious question, well, what were women singing about 100 years ago? Because like we might think that it was all, you know, like My Old Man Said Follow the Van and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But if you look at particularly what black women were singing about in America, and there's a really strong tradition of something that was known as the Dirty Blues. And this was it emerged at the same time blues music did, of course it did. And it's singing about sex, and it's singing about drugs, and it's singing about rock and roll. And it's really obscene. It'll be enough to kind of make you, you'll look at WAP and go, well, that's...
I saw some of the lyrics in your article, and it was like, it's not euphemism. They tell you exactly what they want and where they want you to put it.
I've not heard women singing this, but I remember when I was about 17, someone gave me a tape of men from like the 20s, I guess. And it's all songs like The Cocksucker's Ball and all of this stuff, where it describes in great detail what they're going to do. But women were doing this as well.
Women were doing this as well. You don't hear about them as much, because the Dirty Blues was kind of very hushed up, and, you know, would polite society to talk about that. Because sort of like one of the most well-known, she was known as Lucille Bogan, and she sort of started performing in the South in the 20s and 30s. And she sang a lot of sort of double entendre, like saucy songs. She sang one called BD Women, and the BD stand for Bull Dyke, and it was about lesbians. But she sang one called Shave 'em Dry, which I think it was in 1935. And shaven dry is a euphemism for like rough sex, but without any of the emotion. So it's like a dry shave, like with none of the froth. Yeah. And I'm just going to go for it so you can sense me if this is a family show. But the opening lines to it are, I've got nipples on my titties as big as my thumb. I've got something between my legs to make a dead man come.
We managed to bleep in that. Bleep. That's all right. They wouldn't have heard that.
So, you know, it's like, you know, people talking about this new thing, like it's, what a terrible way for young women to behave and what they've done. It's been going on for years. Women have got the right to be obscene too. It's just that they don't do it very often.
Can I read a comment?
Yes.
Yeah,
just because I've just seen it. I just want to, and we're finding, we'll talk to you maybe another time about the comments, or maybe we'll mention it tonight because it is actually relevant. Someone has just messaged here. Yes, the Dirty Blues was great, but it wasn't the same as Cardi. The women who sang the Dirty Blues didn't tend to be slim and young, etc. They weren't commodified in the same way. Well, that to me says two different things. That's the commodification. Music was differently commodified then anyway. Mm. But also implying that the slim and young thing is, though, I don't see what the relevance...
I think... It takes the edge off for people if the women are not attracted to them. Yeah, so I don't know. Is it like burlesque? It's not. It's kind of stripping for cowards. Is that what they're sort of saying?
I think I'd dispute that. I think I'd say, like, a blues singer like Bessie Smith was absolutely sexy as hell, amazing. And one of her songs was The Empty Bed Blues. Yeah. And she wasn't as explicit as Bogan, but one of the lyrics in that is, don't worry, it's not horrendous, but it's...
Your levels of horrendous are very, very different to ours.
I know. It's but she talks about he boiled my cabbage, he overfoed the pot, when he put in his bacon it got really hot, and that kind of...
See, that's genius.
Yeah. Isn't that good? But that at the time was really scandalous as well. But she was sexy. And there's other blues singers like Ethel Waters. She was a beautiful, sexy woman. And she sung Handyman. And it had whole lyrics like, he churns my butter, he creams my corn, he's my handyman, like wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
But the difference is, skinny wasn't sexy then, really, was it? It just showed that you might not be very well.
This person is doubling down. I'm assuming it's a man. It is relevant because Cardi and Mega for the male gaze. But that's your definition of what sexy is. You know, that's your definition of sexy. One of my favourite singers, who I think is an amazing voice and I think was an incredibly sexy woman, is Mama Cass. Now, that... she would probably, I'm assuming, Skylarking, not be considered sexy by your standards. I think she's one of the hottest women I've ever seen. Oh, my God, if she were to sing to me, So it's that definition, that kind of annoys me, that definition of, well, yeah, but those women weren't sexy back then.
You also mustn't make the mistake of thinking because you find them attractive that it's for you.
Yeah.
All right, you're turned on by that. You think she's really fit, but that doesn't mean it's a performance for you. She's allowed to enjoy that on her own terms. I promise that women all around the world have watched that video and gone, God damn. Maybe it's not. So you mustn't. And the idea that that they're kind of inhabiting or intruding on male sexuality, that starts from the premise that sex and eroticism belongs to men.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And that women kind of interlope into it. And the thing is, you don't want to generalize, but women like dirty sex. They like naughty songs. They like singing about cabbage and bacon and all kinds of. Do you know what I mean? Not everybody, but we have to get away from this idea that if a woman is raunchy and erotic and does something sexy and it turns a man on, that then it's for him.
Yeah, but she's only saying things to please you or to titillate you.
It gives it, and then it is valid because men are enjoying it. We mentioned the Twitch chat. Skylarking is saying I'm a black woman. I'm not sure because your account was set up 7 minutes ago. I'm not totally sure. And I want to talk a little bit about the Twitch, because we've just been on Twitch. This is like week five, right? And one of the things that we've really noticed and that has really opened my eyes is... the abuse that Catherine gets because she hasn't got a penis. And it's
insane. You forget to bring it with you to work.
I've got some spare ones upstairs and she just won't. It's insane. And I saw a bit of it. I saw a bit of it on the radio, but I'm sat here and I'm seeing all of these comments. And you explain it.
What seems to happen is if I displease them, if Ian displeases them, in fact, they'll tell us they're leaving, and as they slam the door, they'll say, and she's crap, or and she's fat, or and she's thick. That's another one they've given me.
You're thick. You had some biscuits the other day. Are you sure you want to be eating those, Kath? No,
he had a full packet of Oreos. He gave me one. Are you sure you want to eat that, Catherine?
And it's It's someone maybe.
But
Dredge.
If I pull them up on it, it's my sense of humour failure.
Yeah. Someone said Twitch is like Twitter on speed, and it's this real magnified, heightened sense of entitlement and attack. I'm getting attacked as well, but the main focus is on Catherine, and it's on her looks, and it's on her perceived lack of education. Doesn't matter. She's got degrees coming out of her ears.
I've got a couple.
Yeah, and more. It's better trained than me. It's weird, and I just wonder. Obviously, you're online.
I know
a lot.
That they don't know anything about me, and I'm not a real person to them. And they it's that thing of, do you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of being a 15-year-old girl and boys that didn't know how to talk to you, right? So if they can't kiss you, they kick you. It's that thing of, she's a square. They didn't know what to say to me, so that they'd have a go at me like about wearing the wrong trainers or whatever. But it was just pigtail pulling. But this is, I'm going to say 40-year-old men.
Oh, what are you doing, chaps? That's just... What would your mothers say? That's just... I get that a lot. I don't do Twitch, but I do Twitter, and my inbox is a state to behold.
Really?
That's why my DMs are closed, God. Yeah.
I keep my DMs open because a lot of the stuff that I tweet is potentially very sensitive, and I like people to be able to get hold of me pretty quick if I've done something wrong or and a lot of people send me really nice messages, but a downside to that is there's a lot of literal willy waving. There's so many penises in my inbox.
Yeah, whatever happened to flowers or romantic music?
A lot of bacon in your cooking pot.
So much bacon in my cooking pot, but I didn't want it there.
But also, what do they think is going to happen? You're going to go, that's like, one.
I'd love to know the psychology behind the unsolicited dick pic. Like, what did you think was going to happen? That I was going to respond to that and go, oh my God, that's so nice of you.
I want that one tonight.
I want that one that one day will be there talking at our wedding feast about how we got together.
But also, you're a woman who, sees, penises and vaginas every single day at work. It's like being a dentist and someone sending you a picture of the molars. Really, that one? I've seen better,
I'm a historian, so, leave it 100 years or so.
Then I'll be interested.
Right? And then I'll be interested.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a T-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
People are asking, just give me your Twitter handle again. Is it just Halls of Yore?
It is, yes.
Right, because people in the chat are asking. So you're either going to get some new pics, yep, or you might get some decent followers. So there we go. That's Halls of Yore is the Twitter
it
feed.
It is. Twitter have got me on a shadow ban at the moment, so I might not be that easy to find. But hopefully you'll be able to turn it up somewhere.
What does that mean, shadow ban?
They've sort of said absolutely categorically that they don't. And then they have now admitted that some accounts that they will limit how they show up in search options, right. And I think it's because it deals with quite adult themes. They don't make it super easy to find, but there we go.
There we go. I've enjoyed your book that you wrote.
Oh, thank you.
How's that going? I mean, was that a limited edition or is that still available?
No, what happened was it came out and everyone went, yay! And then coronavirus and lockdown and everyone, oh, no. So it was, and it got released in America and there were all these favourable reviews. And then I emailed the publisher to go, this is brilliant, is it selling? And they went, no. No, oh. Because it's all in a warehouse in Basildon and we can't get it out because there's like this one guy left in there frantically like licking envelopes and trying to post things.
But actually it's a great lockdown companion for a lot of people, especially if they're not, you know, if they're on their own. A Curious History of Sex, it's called. And it's, it's a serious tome on the history of representation of sex work, etc. But also a flipping good laugh.
You need to write a new chapter because, of course, there's the new sex guidelines and some of the conspiracy theorists, the people who think that COVID-19 is 5G or is a hoax. I got into an argument that I was on a TV show saying wear masks, and someone replied going, it's all a conspiracy, you don't know anything, wearing your muzzle, they even want to control the sex now. That was the phrase, they even want to control the sex, meaning the guidelines, which do look funny.
Not face to face.
Not face to face. Wear a mask. You know, don't. Have you seen these?
Oh, yeah, I've seen it. And what I'll say to that is they've always wanted to control sex. Mm-hmm. They've always wanted to control sex in one way or another. But I suppose it's kind of like we've gone from lockdown where it was just don't go out ever. Unless you have to eat. But then not for very long. And then it's kind of like the gradual lockdown. It's all these kind of like little rules and bits that are coming up. So now people are going, well, I can stand in a garden centre, but as long as I've got six people, but I can't meet my boss at home, and it gets really confusing. Yeah. And someone was going to have to deal with sex at some point. Is just, how are you going to have sex and not catch coronavirus? So they've kind of come up with, I don't know, but like one of the suggestions is you sort of do it so you're not face to face.
Great, lovely.
That sounds good.
I'm up for masks as well, to be honest.
Wear a condom, wear a mask. There have been masks available for people to buy to wear during sex for hundreds of years.
Who knew that they were just taking extra precautions with the sanitary lives? But I also heard that you can do it exactly how you want as long as you go for an eye test to Barnard Castle afterwards.
Yes, I have heard that one too. Yes, I'm just testing out my eyesight.
So what are you doing? What are you doing at the moment? Are you working? Are you?
Yeah, so I'm a university lecturer, and we are working from home, which is a nice way of saying absolute panic and bedlam, which is that any teacher or educator is going through at the moment of trying to work out what on earth teaching is going to look like for this. Nobody knows yet, but it'll be okay. So I'm doing that, and I'm just finishing off another book on the history of sex work for Thames and Hudson. So that's. Yeah, that's it's not as funny as Curious History of Sex. It's a bit more of a serious one, but they have like loads of really nice illustrations and things with it. So.
I love the fact that through the A Curious History of Sex, you managed to sort of reach out to sex workers in your local area. You gave some money to them through the proceeds, didn't you?
Yeah.
Although not quite the way that you thought. You had a big check and you thought I had to show them.
Yeah.
Did you have a big check, one of those big giant checks?
I had this whole big thing planned. It's a group called Basis, and they've been going for over 30 years. They're kind of set up in the wake of the Peter Sutcliffe attacks to support and help women in sex work. And I had this idea that I was going to go in with a big check and do that, the whole big cheesy, like, oh my God, big check. Coronavirus, no. So in the end, I had to, like, they stood on the other end of the street with them, like, looking out of the window and kind of waving. And I had this, like, homemade sign, and it was, it felt really good, though, to be able to do that, because they've done amazing work all throughout the lockdown, because people didn't think about that bit, you know, like if especially for street sex workers. Well, it was all very well with saying if you filed tax returns, then you could absolutely claim, you know, and it's so a lot of people were just plunged into absolutely no money whatsoever. So Basis were putting together food parcels and medicine and emergency deliveries and people going out every day to make these drops and stuff.
I would imagine a lot of sex workers stopped. But I would also imagine a lot of sex workers didn't stop. Yeah. And so their lives became
even riskier.
Even riskier. They're more open to...
It did happen, but the vast majority of women that Basis worked with, they didn't, because they want to do what's right and they want to protect their families. And I was doing the deliveries for them. And one of the women that got in contact with us, she hadn't eaten properly for several days. She just ran out of everything. But eventually, if people have got no money... If they've got nothing, they have to eat. So they will, you know, put themselves in more danger.
Of course, the lazy narrative is, well, they're all junkies and they're all doing it to feed their drug habit. Okay, well, then maybe some of them are, but there are a huge number that are doing it because they've got kids and they have no other way of putting food on their table and buying shoes and clothes for their kids.
And for some of them, it's less exploitative than working in, I don't know, a coffee shop or, you know, it's they're working under their own steam.
It's a very, very complex experience. So you do get sex workers that work on the streets and they're funding drug habits and those things. But then you also get independent workers or brothel workers or male sex workers, dominatrix, phone operators. Or it's a huge, big, broad spectrum. You know, if you've ever watched porn, I won't ask anyone to admit anything, but you've used the services of a sex worker.
Yeah.
So, you know,
and also some people that really enjoy it, you know, there is that. I don't know what the percentage would be, but you're right. It covers every possible reason for doing it.
And it's some people love their jobs and some people don't.
It's that lazy narrative of it's a bunch of junkies, and which you know, I have a lot.
No, but that's a really old fashioned approach to it. You know, there were women in the Victorian times going out to save these women, you know, under the assumption that, you know, they were going to go to hell and they were in abject. Sometimes they were living a lot better than they would have if they'd have done an honest day's work. You know?
It's very true when you look at that. I mean, it was an absolutely, if you look at Victorian England, life in a slum, it was absolutely brutal. And I'm not saying for one second that going and selling sex for a jar of gin or whatever was a brilliant option. But when you look at the around it, it probably was the best option available, actually, because they could make some money. So it's no wonder so many people turn to it.
Yeah. Why sex? Okay, what was the point in your life and you went, I want to hone in on this and really, you know, dig into this. Was there a moment?
You know, it wasn't like an epiphany moment of like a blinding light on the road to Damascus. I've just always been quite interested in it from a historical point of view, but because it's something that it's a sort of a universal human experience, pretty much. And it's something that you've got in common with Henry VIII or with Mother Teresa, or which, I mean, like, we know what it's like to fancy somebody and we know what it's like to feel that
desire.
Did
Henry VIII fancy Mother Teresa? Is that
he would have had a go. I wouldn't have put it past him. He was a scallywag.
But it's that sex and death we don't talk about. We talk about sex a little bit more than death, but not much more. And we don't, apart from the mechanics, you know,
we're not good at talking about it.
No, and it's...
No, which is why a lot of kids these days are watching porn and thinking that's it.
Yeah.
And it's not representative, is it? Really?
And when people lose their minds watching WAP, for example, the problem is we're not talking about it, but porn's everywhere. Mm. So you've got a generation of kids that are learning about sex from porn. And if, you know, like the kind of porn that when I was growing up, it was in magazines, you'd probably find a porn mag in a bush
in
somewhere.
A bush.
Do you remember those? The hedge porn.
Those
porn bushes don't flower anymore, do they?
Oh, the best find when I was a 14-year-old.
But my daughter was 9 when she had her first experience of someone showing her on their phone, another kid, you know. And this is, it only takes one kid in the class to get a picture and then everyone sees
it. And that's it. So you've got to have the conversation, because if you grow up thinking porn is what normal sex is like, that's just a disaster. I don't think there's anything wrong with porn, but you have to educate people around it.
Again, the porn, and I'm going to tread carefully, but it is, obviously, you know, you're right. You would get a magazine and you'd see a lady with her legs open. You know, that was kind of it in the 80s. But now kids can carry around in their pocket the most explicit anything. But also it's very violent, the porn now. There's a lot of the choke seems to be the main, which is, hey, listen, if that's what you're into, absolutely great. I haven't got a problem. But that seems to be the default.
Well, it's not niche anymore, is it?
No, it's the default thing. Important is that, or me and Kath joke about this a lot, but...
Oh, my God.
This step family stuff, man. What incest for cowards? What is that?
No, no, but there's loads of that in Victorian pornography as well.
Really?
Like loads and loads of that.
There's
Victorian magazine, a pornographic magazine, it's called The Pearl. And if you Google Victorian erotic magazine, The Pearl, I think that Wiki Books or someone, they put all of it online, so you can have a look at all of it. And it is really, really explicit stuff. But it's brilliant because it's kind of written like Jane Austen. It's written in that 19th century Victorian way, but it's talking like really in-depth, horrendous things they do to one another. But yeah, they were big on the incest erotica as well.
Wow. I worry, you know, our kids are of a similar age and it is completely different for girls as it is for boys. But I worry. My boys are 10 and 8. 10-year-old's got a mobile phone. We check his phone at the moment. So we know that on his phone, he's certainly not seen anything yet. But it terrifies me. It terrifies me they're going to see this. And I am going to have to contextualize it and explain it and try and bring in, you know, a significant amount of balance. Because my bringing up around sex and stuff wasn't great. It was got very confusing messages from my dad and people that I was in the company of. And it's taken me 30 odd years to kind of sort of realize, oh, okay, this is what I am, and this is what is fair to me and other people, and this is what is not fair, and boundaries. And I just worry about my kids and your kids and how we're going to deal with that.
Can we
hand them over to you? Can you?
Yeah, we'll give them a copy of your book.
I think that it's about facilitating the discussion, because whenever the government tries to get involved in this, generally what they try and do is repress and abolish it. For like several years, they were trying to bring in something called the Digital Economy Act that would basically mean that if you were going to access anything of an adult nature on the internet, you'd need to put in your credit card details.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then kind of everybody went, what? That's what? And
well, I mean, not a problem for me, obviously.
But the guy next door.
But it would be a problem for you if you wanted to like look at my website, for example, because that's adult content. And why should you have to, if you want to look at porn, you as a consenting adult, why should you have to put in your credit card details?
Yeah, it adds an element of shame to it, doesn't it? Yeah,
you know, right. And so it was all and kids, you know, if you know children, my God, like my niece and my nephew, they can do things on phone, like they could, like, just, you know, hackers and encryptions. They're not going to be put off by credit card details, for God's sake. So it was abandoned in the end because it didn't work. But what we need to do is explain. You need to be saying to kids, that's not real sex. You can't learn about real sex from porn any more than you can learn about office Christmas parties from watching Die Hard. It doesn't work. It's pretend sex. Yeah. The people in there aren't having sex like that either. Like if you panned out, you'd see several guys with like boom mics and stood around having a sandwich and a cup of tea. And like you don't see like all the bit beforehand where even the choke stuff, that's all pre-agreed. That's all consent.
Yeah.
You don't see that. Like there's limits that are set up, safe words are in place. They know exactly what's going to happen. That's how porn should be done anyway. But you don't see any of that. So if that's all you see and you think that's what sex is, that's the problem. So we're going to have to kind of be a bit franker than we want to be, because it's an uncomfortable conversation for us too,
isn't
it?
Yeah, but the thing is, if it doesn't come from us, it's going to come from some other kid who's got no clue.
It'll come from porn if you don't jump in there and have that conversation.
Yeah.
And I'm prepared to have that conversation. I'm ready for it. Well, I don't want to have it, but I know I will. I know that my kids at some point are going to see this stuff. I know at some point my kids are probably going to take drugs. I know all of this, and then you get parents that don't want it taught. Don't want sex education taught in school because it'll make kids gay. We're going to make kids gay.
Yeah,
you know, it's all of that stuff, and it's just it's a very strange time. You know, I sometimes think that we've come so far, and actually I don't know how far we have come in a lot of ways. Some ways we're going backwards as well, I think, with people like Trump and Johnson. Anyway, Whores of Yore, at Whores of Yore on Twitter.
That's me.
The book A Curious History of Sex.
Yep.
When is the new book coming out? Do we have a date yet?
Hopefully later, very end of this year or the beginning of next year, and it doesn't have a title yet because we can't agree on one. So I might like throw it out to the public, and then I'll have to call it something like Sexy McSexface.
Come on, you're welcome on any time, Kate.
So good
it's so lovely to
see
you. Talk
to you. Thank you. It was lovely to speak to you. You're both marvellous.
Stay safe. Keep that bacon out of your
cabbage pot.
Or your WAP.
You might want it in there. Mind your own business.
You might
want
none of my business. I'm a man. I'm telling you what to do with your pot.
It's my cabbage pot.
See you later on. Take care.
Thanks,
Kate.
Guys.
Bye. She's awesome, isn't she?
She's brilliant. It was a little bit blue, but in a mature way, guys.
Well, of course it was, but she's an academic.
She's brilliant. Well done.
That book is hilarious.
You have been listening to a Rabbit Hole production. Boing!
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.